Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with our emotions by learning to see reality as it truly is, the way things really are, so we can walk in the victory that God has for us, even in life's greatest challenges. We've been specifically focusing on fear, and this week we're introducing worry into the discussion. Worry is a form of fear. It's fear of a future event, speculation about a future event that seems bigger possibly than the resources you have available to you. Now, you may be thinking that I've said very, very little about worry, and you're right. The first day I talked about worry a little bit and said the Greek word that's translated worry in the New Testament means to be distracted. When you're worried, you take your focus off the present power and provision of God with you and for you, perfectly present, loving, and reigning. Now, I want to begin to say some things about worry. I want to get back to worry. I took a little side journey to explain the fact that God, his message is fear not, don't worry, I'm with you. We discussed what it means to have God with you. That's not just a religious cliche. That's a statement of reality as it truly is. I'd love to repeat everything I've said the past 2 days, but it's already Friday, so you're going to have to go to the website and re-listen to the broadcast we've already done if you weren't with us. But there's no place God is not. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, present everywhere at once. You committed your worst sin in the presence of God. He was with you then. He's with you now. And his presence is the help you need in your situation. Now, let's begin to consider something Jesus said about dealing with worry when he was on the earth. As we've said, worry is fear of the future. And Jesus gave some practical instruction about how to deal with the tendency all of us have to borrow tomorrow's trouble. That's really what worry is. It's borrowing tomorrow's trouble. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25 down to the end of the chapter, he gives us some real practical help into how to deal with worry. But let me just read the very last line, the very last statement that he makes, and I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. He says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today." See, that's such good advice. Worry is borrowing tomorrow's trouble. Now, Jesus here told his listeners not to worry about where future provision will come from. Life's necessities, basic necessities, food and clothing. Let me read a couple of verses. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on." This phrase, take no thought. In more modern translations, it says, don't be anxious, don't worry. It's expressed in the King James Bible as take no thought. Now, that's actually a real good way to convey what the word means, worry or anxiety. It means taking thoughts. According to Jesus, worry is aroused by considering thoughts about where life's necessities are going to come from. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. What is that? It's taking thoughts like, where are we going to get food? Oh, my Lord, how are we going to buy clothes? I don't make enough money. They're laying people off at my work. Look at the economy. Gas prices keep going up. The national debt is out of control, so on and so forth. If you focus on thoughts like that, it's going to stimulate the emotion of worry, which is fear about the future. Now, let me read verse 25. This is out of the Amplified. "Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and about your body, what you shall put on. Stop being perpetually uneasy. I like that. Notice that statement. Perpetually uneasy. That is a continuous state or state of being. Jesus is not saying here that the emotions of worry will never be stimulated and rise up. They will. In a sin-cursed earth, you're going to see stuff and hear stuff and even think stuff that's going to stimulate the emotion of worry. Jesus means that when the emotion of worry is stimulated by what you see or what you hear, you need to deal with it so it doesn't become your perpetual state of being. I have people tell me all the time, oh, I'm such a worrier. Well, if you're a Christian, that's a sin. That's probably a little blunt, but it's the truth. If God says don't worry and you worry, you've disobeyed God. Is that right? Yes, that's right. Now, let me qualify that a bit. You can't stop the emotion from rising. There are going to be times that you feel fear and you feel worry. That is part of life in a sin-cursed earth. A preacher who had a tremendous impact on my life and my ministry used to say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. You can't stop the emotions of worry and fear from being stimulated, but you can deal with them so worry and fear don't become your perpetual state of being, your constant state of being. Now, how do you deal with worry when it arises? Let me read verse 31. I realize I'm not reading the whole passage in the interest of time. He says, therefore, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. Don't worry saying. Don't be anxious saying. What does that mean? Saying indicates that these thoughts have been embraced, internalized, and are now being spoken out. Yesterday we looked at Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 and 6, where we see how Paul went through a process of persuasion to come to a settled conclusion that nothing could separate him from God's presence and love. He quoted Deuteronomy 31, where God said, I will never ever leave you or forsake you. And then Paul turned right around and said, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. In other words, Paul had meditated on that scripture, that promise from God, I will never leave you or forsake you. There's great emphasis in that. Actually, it's like four times. I'll never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Paul had thought about it, pondered it, muttered it, gone over and over it until it was internalized and it came back out of him as his view of reality. Therefore, I will not fear because God is my helper. I don't have to fear what men shall do unto me. Jesus is saying the same thing. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What are we going to do? Oh my goodness, we're going down the tubes. See, in this case, meditation has taken place. Webster's dictionary says that to meditate means to reflect or to muse over, to contemplate. To contemplate means to consider carefully and for a long time. We spend most of our time thinking about the problem and what could go wrong and what might go wrong and what has gone wrong and what happened to the neighbor and what happened to the person at work. Well, Jesus said when a thought stimulates the worry of emotion, put it away. Let me read verse 25 out of the New English Bible. Put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive. He doesn't just say don't do it. He says put away those thoughts. Okay, the boss may come to you and say you're going to get a 10% pay cut this year. That thought will stimulate worry. How are we going to pay the bills? That's totally natural. But then you face a choice. Are you going to keep going over and over that? What am I going to do? How are we going to make ends meet? Or are you going to do what Jesus says here? Put away those anxious thoughts. Now you might say, how do we do it? Well, he tells us exactly how to do it. Verse 24, behold the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And behold the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? For after these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Jesus tells them that when a thought of, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? Where am I going to get the money? Stimulates the emotion of worry. Put it away. Put your focus on reality as it truly is. He tells them, observe intently. That's the idea here. The birds and the flowers. And he reminds them that birds and flowers are provided for by God who cares for them. The birds eat and the flowers are dressed because God cares for them. And then he tells them, Jesus reminds them, his sons and daughters matter more to God than birds or flowers. That's a present tense reality. According to Jesus, focusing on the future, where are we going to get life's necessities, without the realization of the present, presence, provision, and protection of God, namely, he's presently providing for those who matter to him, will only produce anxiety and worry. See, you take your focus off the thoughts that are producing worry and put them on the present tense reality of God is right now taking care of his creation, his flowers, his birds, and you matter more than a bird or a flower. If God takes care of the birds and the flowers, he'll take care of me. He knows I just got a 10% pay cut. He knows that's not bigger than him. Worry arises when we're distracted from God and his word. It's aroused by speculating on future problems and meditating on information that doesn't take God and his word into consideration. It begins with the thought of a coming loss or harm, which you accept into your mind. You then meditate on it or go over and over it. You speak it out. And before long, you're in a state of anxiety. You must recognize when you're being distracted from God's word and bring your focus back to reality as it truly is. Back to what God says about you and your situation. When worry rises up, recognize that God is perfectly present with you, loving and reigning. Remember, his presence is salvation. He's a very present help in time of need. Talk to yourself about who God is. More next week. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.